Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Pitur Uvacha Varan Vipo Tvad Varadeshvarad Buddha Katam Vrinite Guna Vrikriyatmanam Ye Narakanam Api Santi Dehinam Tan Isha Aivalya Pate Vrine Nacha Vitur Uvacha Varan Vibho Tvad Varadeshvarad Buddha Katam Vrinite Guna Vikriyatmanam Ye Narakanam Api Shanti Dehinam An Isha Kaivalya Pate Vrinina Cha Vitur Uvacha Varan Vibho Tvad Varadeshvarad Buddha Katam Vrinite Guna Vikriyatmanam Ye Narakanam Api Shanti Dehinam An Isha Kaivalya Pate Vrinina Cha Vitur Uvacha. Vitur Maharaj said, Varan, benedictions. Vipo, my dear Supreme Lord. Tvat, from you. Varada Ishvarad, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest of the bestowers of benedictions. Buddha, a learned person. Katam, how. Vrinite, could ask for. Gunavikriya, bewildered by the modes of material nature. Atmanam, of the living entities. Yea, which? Narakanam, of the living entities in hell. Api, also. Santi, exist. Dehinam, of the embodied. Tan, all those. Yisha, O Supreme Lord. Kaivalyapate, O bestower of merging in the existence of the Lord. Vrine, I ask for. Na, not. Cha, also. Translation. My dear Lord, you are the best of the demigods who can offer benedictions. Why, therefore, should any person ask you for benedictions meant for living entities, bewildered by the modes of nature? Such benedictions are available automatically, even in the lives of living entities suffering in hellish conditions. My dear Lord, you can certainly bestow merging into your existence, but I do not wish to have such a benediction. Purport. There are different kinds of benedictions according to a person's demands. For Karmi, the best benediction is promotion to the higher planetary systems, where the duration of life is very long and the standard of happiness and living is very high. There are others, namely jnanis and yogis, who want the benediction of merging into the existence of the Lord. This is called Kaivalya. The Lord is therefore addressed as Kaivalyapati, the master or lord of the benediction known as Kaivalya. But devotees receive a different type of benediction for the Lord. Devotees are anxious neither for the heavenly planets nor for merging into the existence of the Lord. According to devotees, Kaivalya, or merging into the existence of the Lord, is considered as good as hell. The word Naraka means hell. Similarly, everyone who exists in this material world is called Naraka, because this material existence itself is known as the hellish condition of life. Pitu Maharaj, however, expressed that he was interested neither in the benediction desired by the Karmis, nor that desired by the Jnanis and Yogis. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Prabhu, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, described that Kaivalya is no better than a hellish condition of life, and as for the delights of the heavenly planets, they are factually will-o'-the-wisps, or phantasmagoria. They are not wanted by devotees. Devotees do not even care for the positions held by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor does a devotee desire to become equal with Lord Vishnu. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Pitu Maharaj made his position very clear. So the the devotee is only interested in transcendental service to the Lord. So many benedictions are there that one can gain. People strive for them. But actually the only real position of satisfaction for the living entity is that service to the Lord. These other ideals that people may have, nice facility, heavenly pleasures and facilities, freedom from material anxiety, merging into the Brahman, then the devotee doesn't see these as very important. Because factually, what is the focus in these considerations? The focus is on the environment. It's not actually a relationship. It's a potential for a relationship, but it's not, you're in a nice place, or you're away in a situation that's away from problems. But what do you interact with? What do you do? What's the real taste? You have all nice facilities, nice things, but where's the interaction? What is there actually for the living entity? One may say, well, other than Brahman, of course, but one may say, well, in heavenly situations, people are there. We're interacting with people. But what does people mean? People means the body, means the relation. So, factually, you're interacting with dead matter controlled by the modes of nature. So, again, where is the relationship? There isn't. The only relationship is with the soul and with God. So if you're seeing that the living entity in this body, in this situation, that is the point of interaction, then that's better. But the point is that situation will be temporary. That's why they use the word phantasmagoria. Because one is in a nice situation, one thinks this is great, how long does it last? It's always short. It never lasts long. Right? I mean, situations you don't last like seem to last forever. Right? But situations you do like never last long enough. So that always holds true. It's not that if you're in a better situation, then it lasts longer. No, you like it more, it's shorter. It's quicker. And then later on when you remember back on it, then you're thinking, did it actually happen? Right? So the point is that making nice facilities isn't actually what's going to bring the satisfaction of the living entity. Service of the Lord, interacting with the devotees and the Lord on the principle of devotion, that's going to have some substance, some meaning. So because of this, then we see the Lord has come, He's made His statements, but He's staying because of the personal interaction. Otherwise, as God in the position, He's come, He's given His benediction, the yajna has finished, He's done it well, the Lord comes. You know, He's said something because of His senior position. And then He would go. But devotion then makes it so there's, when He stays, there's interaction. An interaction based on the mood. So we see Prithu Maharaj here is exemplifying the mood of all devotees, that the situation isn't actually the important thing. Right? One may say, no, but if we have a good situation, we could do nice service. That's fine. Because then service is the point. Right? One wants to do service. So better facility means, if the better facility means the service will go nicer, great. But if better facilities doesn't mean the service will go nicer, it's not so important. That's the point. So we have to be very, very diligent to observe what makes the service go better and what is based on we will think, I will be happier. Because the element of being happy within the material world doesn't actually exist. It's just a matter of removal of the difficulties that are there. In other words, it makes it easier. It's not actually happiness. Happiness is what is the interaction between the devotees and the Lord. That's happiness. Because that's personal. That's what will make you happy. Happiness in the material world simply means removing a situation that you find painful. That's all. Being hungry is a situation. Being tired is a situation. Being lusty is a situation. Being fearful is a situation. And you're simply removing that situation. That's what we call material happiness. So all it is trying to create a environment that doesn't bother you. That's what material endeavor is. That's what material happiness is. I'm going to say, no, it's positive. I'm working for something higher. I'm working for a better position. But what it is it bothers you that you're in a lower position. It bothers you people don't recognize you. It bothers you that you don't have the power and authority you'd like to have, or the social status or appreciation. So it's not going for a higher situation. It's simply removing what one would consider a disturbance. That's why any one situation, one person will say, this is great, because it removes his his obstacle, but someone else, it's a total obstacle. Right. Does that make sense? So, this is the reality. So Prithu Maharaj is making it clear that it's not the things, it's the person he wants to interact with. If that's understood, then one's relationship with the Lord and with the devotees will develop. Because the situation isn't the focal point. The situation is only there as an assistant to actual interaction. A particular situation can be favorable for bringing out the exchange and the moods of a particular interaction. But that they're there is nice, but if they're not there, it still works. If one understands that it's the interaction that's important. Otherwise, you'll make the arrangements, and being the material world, something always goes wrong, and then nothing's going right, so we can't do what we want to do, so the exchange doesn't happen. No. The point is if the situation is ideal, great. If it's not, then focus what is actually happening. The happening point is interaction with the person. That means the soul, not the body. The body is the medium. Right? How do you know you're interacting with a particular soul? Because that body is there. They happen to be in that body. That's how you know. Otherwise, how do you know? Right? So, That's the idea, is that all these other things are not so important. So, the position of Brahman, there's no interaction, there's no facilities, so that's considered a hellish condition, because it's just boring to the ultimate. You can't get more bored than being in Brahman. You know, if you're bored, you consider it hell. You can be sitting in a really nice place, right? But you're bored, you consider it hellish. Now imagine that you don't even have a nice place, right? So that's even worse. That's Brahman. As we discussed, heavenly planets, things just, it evaporates in no time. And the hellish situations, though they're hellish, even in there, they're able to remove their little problems. Right? And then they considered, this is great. Right? They finally got, you know, all those barking dogs that like to sit in front of their door to move down to their neighbor's door. They're happy. It's great. So his point is this material happiness and distress come and go on their own. One doesn't have to endeavor for them. You endeavor, they'll come. You don't endeavor, they'll still come. Right? There's always the idea if I endeavor, it'll come that much quicker or stay that much longer. But it doesn't. So that attempt to interact with the devotees and the Lord, that's the real endeavor. That's actual endeavor. Everything else is not actually important. Of course, because everything's connected to Krishna, everything is connected with devotional service, so that means at all times, places, and situations that one can be engaged. But one always has to remember the point of engagement is the interaction with the living, right? Not with the dead. Or let's say, what's dead, right? Because we even attribute livingness to the dead, right? Okay, so. So any questions or comments? Yes. Okay, if there's a tree, how can we say it's dead? Because there's a soul there, so how are we interacting? So, what are you doing that's interaction with the soul? If you're, let's say there's a tree, what interaction are you going to do with the tree? Chant Hare Krishna, okay. So, that's it. Yeah? Okay, so the fruits, the flowers, the bark, the shade, the coolingness that's there, nice arrangements to sit, all that you're not going to worry about, right? Yeah, so I'm saying the situation is there, but why go under the tree? It's hot outside. Why are you under the tree? It's cool. So that coolness is coming from that soul, or it's coming from the body of the soul? The body. So your interaction with that tree on that platform is with the body. It's not actually with the soul. If you sit there and think about the tree there, who is, a soul who is unfortunately in this body, you'd like to do some benefit for them. So then you can take something from that body, offer it to Krishna, or you can get down on your hands and knees right at the roots and really chant loud, and then, you know, the tree might be able to hear you. You know what I'm saying? That would be interaction with the soul. So that's service, right? But now if you're sitting under that tree to read, because if you sit out in the sun, then there's a limited amount of time you can read before you turn into a crisp or something. So therefore, you sit under the tree, you can read. So that means then, since the tree is offering that shade, that's facilitating the service, the tree gets benefit. You understand? But it's a difference in perspective. It's what we have to understand is relationship, actual dynamic relationship is not automatic. That's what taking a relationship for granted is. We think automatically it's happening. But when you endeavor, then it's working dynamically. When you're not, it's neutral. You know what I'm saying? When the members of the family come together, but they're busy doing this and that, not interacting, technically speaking, the relationship is not dynamic. It's a situation. Oh, all the family members are here. It's a nice situation. But you're not actually interacting. So that's great, here and there. You got something else you're interacting with. But at some point, even the nicest situation gets boring. Right? And people want to have a different situation. So if the situation there is, it's always going to be everyone does whatever they're doing and they don't interact, then you have to change that to another environment where you have a different group of people in a new situation that doesn't interact. Is that making sense? So The point is when you're, that's why Preeti Maharaj is making it very clear, because unspoken is not enough, right? So that's the thing. And now here, the Lord is taking that step. We can see is the Lord is, because of the relationship, doing little things that are, would be endearing to Preeti Maharaj, right? He's standing on the ground, he's resting his hand on Garuda's shoulder as if he needs that support, because it, you know. So these are kind of considerations for Preeti Maharaj as a king, and a king on the earthly planet. So he has made that step. But here it is that the opportunity to interact is there, but it has to be made very clear that it is there. One can't take it for granted. Oh, the Lord's done all these nice things, and so that means, you know, He loves me, so I don't have to express it back. So it's clear, right? We're expecting that the authority will take all those little steps, but unless we reciprocate them, then that means the relationship is just taken for granted. And you are only interacting with the situation. And the situation is dead matter. You know what I'm saying? So this concept that only the masculine has to take that step to express the relationship, we see here, that's not accepted by the devotees. Point is that the step has to be taken, but being taken, then it's appropriate, it's noticed, then the relationship's dynamic. Does that make sense? Yes. When one's functioning on this platform of actual relations, the dynamic relationship, the interaction with the environment and the forms in that environment doesn't change. Does that make sense? So, it doesn't. So whether the interaction is transcendental or material, it's still going to be done through the medium of the environment. Does that make sense? Right? So, Krishna's there, and so he has a form. So now, whether you see that form as spiritual and understand it's the Supreme Lord, or it's just a really good-looking body, and you're checking it out, but still your interaction is going to be through the body. The expression will be through the body. Ignorance means you're interacting with the body, but not understanding that you're actually supposed to be interacting with the soul. Knowledge means you understand that the body is the medium of exchange between you as a living entity and that other person as a living entity. So the form doesn't change. The change is in the consciousness, right? So the point is the guru and disciple relationship is inherently spiritual, but it doesn't mean that because you're interacting, it is spiritual. You know what I'm saying? If one's having a bad hair day, and one goes to the spiritual master because you have so many problems, you need that support and that emotional interaction and everything like that, it's still dealing with dead matter. Because the spiritual master, the relationship that makes it spiritual is that interaction is based on spiritual understanding. So if you had a bad hair day, is how to not get all that support and everything you need, but how to get the spiritual direction and support on how in that situation you would try to see it in relation to Krishna and make it into something useful. Does that make sense? So it's not, that's what we're meaning, it's not automatic. It's designated because then we will take, okay, this external situation is spiritual, this one's material. Right? But if the consciousness is not right, it's all material. If the consciousness is right, it's all spiritual. Does that make sense? So when these advanced devotees are dealing even with a gross materialist, they're seeing the soul and the servant of Krishna, though they're conditioned in a particular way, so they interact with that soul based on the medium of their conditioning. But they're not seeing, the conditioning is not what they're interacting with. The soul is what they're interacting with. The conditioning is only the medium. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is that interaction doesn't stop. You know what I'm saying? But spiritual and material is the quality of the interaction. Not that you're interacting with the spiritual master, so it's spiritual, and interacting with the materialist, therefore it's material. Right? You could be going to the spiritual master for mundane purposes. It's material. You are preaching to the karmi. It's spiritual. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's the consciousness, it's the intent that makes it spiritual or material. But because we see things externally, exclusively, therefore we're given some, you know, very, obvious points to focus. You know what I'm saying? Like here, this is the temple. So when we're here, we're careful, we try not to be absorbed in material things, you know, like that. We try to be at our best. All these things we do, but it's still a building. The deities moved out, you know, like that, and we moved in a bunch of, you know, all the accoutrements for a casino. It's a casino, not a temple. Right? So it's not that the building itself is inherently spiritual. You understand? It becomes spiritual because of using it as a medium to serve Krishna. So if the body is used as a medium to serve Krishna, it's spiritual. Right? The relationship is used to serve Krishna, it's spiritual. The situation is used to serve Krishna, it's spiritual. But if it's not, it's not. You know what I'm saying? So for the beginning, because we can't distinguish, therefore it's very obvious. This is the temple, this is your home. In your home, this is your deities and that, and the kitchen we try to keep very nice and all that, and the living room and all these kind of things like that. And, you know, we focus on that. No one worries much about their closet or the garage. You know, it's not, no one's out there trying to spiritualize their closet. You know, spiritualize their garage or the attic, the basement. You know what I'm saying? The living space, the kitchen, you know, the deity place. These are the things that we try to, you know what I'm saying? So there's something that's obvious, right? When we're chanting, it's obvious it's spiritual. But the point is you're still a living entity who has an eternal relationship with God, even if you're not chanting your japa. So that means at all times, one could be God conscious, right? But one starts with the obvious, the direct, because one, it's the easiest and it's the most powerful. But the point is you are a living entity. You don't stop to exist when you stop, you're not at the morning program. You know what I'm saying? You're still existing. That means you as a servant of God still exists. Does that make sense? So the idea is that we start with what's obvious and then we start to understand the subtleties. Otherwise, then the obvious, after a while, we take it for granted. And then we interact with the situation. Right? Then the being in the temple is the situation. It's not an opportunity to remember Krishna. It's just a situation. So, interacting properly with the situation, you know, according to the rules, that's called piety. Right? Interacting with a purpose to please Krishna, that's called devotion. You understand? Because as we said before, going to the heavenly planets is simply a dealing with the situation. So the person, according to scriptures, is regulating their life according to those rules so that he may remove the difficulties of an inferior situation and attain to a superior situation. Right? Does that make sense? And that's all he's doing, is moving with situations. He's sitting on the ground, he thinks it's great. One of the other residents of the heavenly planet goes by in his airplane. And he thinks, why aren't I in my airplane? He looks so happy up there. Like that. So then now you have a pain. I'm not in my airplane. Right? So then you go and get your airplane, and then you're flying around. Then you think, this is great. You're in a situation. And then you look over, and then there's someone else. He's flying by in his airplane, but with, you know, five apsaras. And it's kind of like, hey, it's just me and my airplane here. You know, maybe a great song, but hey. You know? And then you'll go down and try to collect yourself some apsaras. You know what I'm saying? Then you're flying around in that, and then someone else, he has better looking apsaras, or he's more pious, he looks better, or their interaction is more dynamic, or they're flying around and with the apsaras and eating something. So all you're doing is constantly removing obstacles, that's all. We hear about that river, it's flowing with gold. You know, the mango juice is there, and all the bank is just solid gold. So you have all your ornaments, think you look good. Someone goes by with better looking ones. What do? You have a problem. Now you go to that place, pick up some more gold, go out there, try to organize something that's better than everyone else, but unique enough that they can't copy it. And then you're wearing that. Right? And then Kuvera comes along. That's it. You know, so, you know, forget it. Does that make sense? So it looks like, wow, he's happening, he's doing so many things, the people are there, but it's only situations. That's all. So dealing with the soul, being with God, that's the actual step that we're trying to appreciate and realize. Does that make sense? So even if we're doing that indirectly, or I'm chanting because I know it's Krishna and that, but I'm not remembering Krishna, still, that intent, long-term intent is there. One's getting that benefit. But the more one appreciates it, then the more dynamic it is. Does that make sense? So in other words, the bodily when we say we're not the body, we mean that. Because the body is not defined just as this much. It's the body, anything connected to the body, anything perceived by the body. Because you see the tree, it's green. You think it's nice or not nice or... That's all connected with your gross matter, your senses. It's like that. Does that make sense? So when we say, someplace when it says the body, it means the field. So when we say we're not the body, it means we're not the body and the field that the body's in. So when we're in our field and that person's in their field and our fields come together, then we think, wow, this is great. But it's still just one field interacting with another field. It's still not the souls. The souls want their field to improve. So it'll improve by interacting with their field. But you're still not dealing with the real person. If this was understood, then we would be happy here. But we're not. Everybody's changing. The guy's rich. He's thinking how to, you know, drop everything and go out on a, you know, a boat out in, you know, some out of the way place and just, you know, experience life, you know, grow his beard, not take a bath, you know, do something ridiculous. You know, and the guy who's out there in his boat with the beard, he's looking around for money so that he can live in the big palace that the guy who's next to him just gave up. Does that make some sense? Yes, no? How to relate to the soul means service. What service means, the actual point is interacting with Krishna. And so that's done through service. So we interact with Krishna through the devotees. So what is the service being rendered in your interaction with that devotee? Does that make sense? That's the point. See, it's we're sorry if it's a bit makes things a bit stark. You know, because our bodily identification is so strong that all our interests and desires and everything dynamic is there. So if that's removed, then that inspiration to perform activity may be overwhelmingly lost. Right? But the idea is that it's simply pointing out the actual situation of relationship and actually what is the relationship. So it's a matter of everything else doesn't change. It's a matter of going farther forward. We're so used to it's this or that. No, we're saying it's this and that. The problem is we're only interested in this, not that. So relationship means that through the medium of this. But we're so conditioned to interacting with this. Supposedly I have that, but one doesn't. That's the point. The point is spiritual means this doesn't go away because you have that. That's the Mayavadi's concept. And the materialist is, this is enough. This is never enough. And there's no such thing as only that. So it's that through the medium of this. Does that make sense? So it's not that you're removing something. We're only trying to make it aware because we're focused here and you can't see what's beyond. Right? Just like, you ever look through a jolly? You know, jolly, these, like that, I don't know what you call it. Like, on that building there's railing. And under the railing there's that crisscross pattern with holes in it. It's called jolly. At least around here. You know, not as in Roger or as in jolly old, you know, but it's not an English thing at all. But so if you're sitting in front of that, right, you can look through that and see what's outside. So do you have a problem that the jolly's there? No, that's what the Mayavadis do. And now if you just look at the jolly and don't notice what's beyond, that's what we're doing in the material world. So when we say is the jolly's not what the real thing is, that's not the real interaction. And we're saying it's beyond the jolly, it doesn't mean the jolly disappears. That's the material concept of spiritual. You understand? So nothing disappears. None of your, you know, the relationship situation, none of that disappears. What it is, it means that you're taking it farther, looking beyond the jolly to what's beyond. I mean, beyond the jolly to reality. Right? Which is what is actually living. Does that make sense? Okay. Does that work now? Yeah? Okay. Yes. Interacting with the tree. You want to know how loud you have to chant? Or? Quite loud. It's right down there, you know. Kind of. It means the point between the trunk and the roots. So where the trunk ends and the roots start, that's where the living entity is. So. Yes. What's the difference interacting with the tree? Okay. Means, since it mentions that rasa is only tasted between the same species. And so we'll think, no, I have a dynamic relationship with my dog. But all it is the dog, you know, wants some attention and you're giving it. But it's still a situation. But the actual, what they're feeling in the way to exchange that, there's no medium. You can perceive the dog is happy or the dog's not very happy. But you can't communicate that rasa. So rasa is that ability to communicate on that platform and share that relationship. That you can't do with another species. You know, so you appreciate the tree, but they, you know, can't, means they can get symptoms of it, but it's not, it's anuman, it's not direct. Does that make sense? Yes.
How is it possible to transfer benedictions?
How is it possible to transfer benedictions? You mean like a, how do you say, Western Union kind of thing or something? Or DHL the benedictions? I mean, what do you mean by transfer of benediction? One gets it, one gives it to somebody else. It depends on if the benediction is observable by the senses or not. It means it's not. It means if somebody gives you some prasad, then you can easily transfer that to someone else. Basically is that whatever is there, the benefits of that you use for the benefit of others. How? Let's say, what is the benediction you're thinking of that you're having a difficulty figuring out how to transfer? Spiritual benediction. Okay, so one has spiritual benediction, then one tries to share that spiritual perspective with others. Right? So being in the spiritual environment is the first perspective, but having the spiritual perspective, that's even more important, because that means you actually can appreciate it. So giving that, either sharing the situation or the perspective with others, you know, either those who appreciate it and therefore you can go deeper into it, or those who don't and making them aware of it, then that's how you can share it. Is that okay? It requires direct connection between persons. Is the problem with direct connection between persons? When it's lacking. The problem is you're spiritual and there's no one around that you can share this with. So then what's the problem? You want to share it with a person you're not in contact with. One, you can be a well-wisher, so that will help. Or there's many varieties of ways to contact and interact with people in the contemporary environment. One can try those also. Does that make sense? But otherwise, if one's a well-wisher, then that's always works. I'm getting the idea that that was a very general example. And you have a very specific example that you're thinking of. I see. You've been at Mata Maharaj's classes. No, okay. Wish to give the benefit, so what's the problem? Point is well-wishing, but you're well-wishing, you're thinking of the actual person. The point is the interaction with the body makes it obvious. Right? Then it's direct. But also indirectly, it means that it may not be, but it's still with the person. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Are you with God at all times or not? Okay? You know, this is not one of those, are you with God? It's like that, one of those. This is, or actually, is God with you? Right, you know, that would be the more correct. And are all living entities part and parcel of God? So, at what point are you not actually technically in connection with any living entity? Okay? So therefore, if you're wishing that they would have the benefit of this, then they will get it. You didn't catch that connection. Krishna's there, he understands this, they're all parts and parcels of him. But the point is them having it, what would be the actual devotional benefit? what was the service to Krishna. So if the service to Krishna, he's pleased, then naturally he being pleased, everybody else is pleased. Does that make sense? Right? I mean, if you want to ritualize that, then you take some water, put it in your hand, make that sankalpa, that this spiritual benefit you want to give to that person, then pour that water, you know, into a clean place. If you want to ritualize it, if it makes it feel better that the body is doing something in the water and it'll get like this. But the point is the Lord's there, it's not actually necessary. But if it makes you feel good, then... Anything else? Yes. Yes. For the buses. So that's the kirtan that's going on now. Okay. Sankirtan devotees are supposed to be Krishna conscious, worship Krishna, but they're worshiping a demigod for the benefit of their buses. So why would devotees be doing that? Why would they be doing it, or is it all right to do it, or is that the thing you should do, or should you go home now and worship your blender, or, you know, I mean, saying, you know. It's a tradition, so they don't even know why they're doing it. Jai. It doesn't take long to lose knowledge. Huh? No, but what I said, that's your question, right? You want to know why the Sankirtan devotees are worshipping Vishvakshena so that their buses run nicely. Why don't they worship Krishna? You don't know how to... No, but what's the question? What's the question? A demigod, so is that correct or not? Or you're just saying it's not correct, so why are they doing it? No, but that's a detail. What's the question? What it is correct. Okay. The point is, if one worships Krishna, one doesn't have to worry about anything else. That's automatic. But if one has, by one's tradition, these kind of backgrounds and things like that, then the actual proper worship is that one is worshiping Krishna first, and then the remnants from that worship one's offering to that particular demigod. Right? And then the idea being, then the demigod will be shower his blessings upon your buses, that they will run nicely for your service to Krishna. So, by worshiping Krishna, if he's pleased, naturally the buses will run nicely, right? Because there are devotees all over the world that wouldn't even know who Vishvakshena is, and their buses were. Right? So one doesn't have to do that, right? But if one is, the method is you're worshiping the Lord, and that is then being offered to the demigod. And so that way then you're recognizing the specific minister in charge of your buses running nicely, right? But if you please Krishna, he's the prime minister, so you don't actually have to worry about the ministers. But if they're doing it, then that's the way you do it. Same time, they're also doing that so that the buses run nicely so they can go out and do preaching. So it also has that connection. It's not that, you know, the bus runs nicely so they can go and get a, you know, go to their work, and so then they can buy a big house. You know, so it's, you know, a little higher than that. But it's one of those things, it's not really necessary, but if they do it, you know, since it's a local thing, hey, it's no big deal. But if, you know, they start doing it in America, then I would say, it's really unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not their background anyway. They do stupid stuff like having a Christmas party or a birthday party. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's used the same song, same everything. So it's the same. That's the same thing. Right? In other words, when devotees have a birthday party, then it's, you know, they have prasad and interaction with devotees, try to please the devotees. So they're just taking a tradition in their line and trying to Krishnize it. So the Bengalis are doing the same thing. So it's no more weird than Christmas, devotees having Christmas and birthday parties. Does that make sense? It's the same principle. But the one is mentioned in Shastra and the other one's not. So, does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was asking what's your question, because whether it's right or not, I've explained that. Like that, but I mean, that's how, that was how it was shown to them how to do it. Whether they're doing it like that, that's another thing, but unless you investigate, how would you take your question further anyway? So if you ask them, how do they do this, then it's there. It's the difficulty with introducing these kind of things, because then everything goes. You know what I'm saying? You introduce the samskara and then it comes out, and then they have to drive their car into the temple room, you know, and run over some lemons, and then they feel good, right? But it's, you're just dealing with the mundane there. It's connected to Krishna, it's according to Shastra, but it's not really important. The point is that it's, you know, if the Lord is pleased with your service and your endeavor, then things go nicely, right? So it's a very difficult balance to introduce the externals of the culture that actually make for an easier, higher quality of interaction with Krishna and the living entities. But because of our view of externals anyway, we just catch the external and miss the whole point anyway. And so that becomes a problem. Do you introduce things or you don't? Because if you do, they'll use them materially. And if you don't, then the material situation is unfortunate. So you try to make it, the material situation, fortunate, so it's easier to use in Krishna's service, but instead of using Krishna's service, they get distracted and just get into the niceness of the greater fortune. So it's kind of like, so what do you do? And does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. The philosophy is not really a problem. But when you start to apply it, then all these difficulties come up. Because then you have to use the culture. And then according to the culture that you're landing the spiritual in, then it will have all these little things to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.